Distractions. You know, we've been talking about the series Life right now. And the message title today is Emotions. Have you ever considered how your emotions affect your life? Now, I don't know how you make decisions, but a lot of times in our lives, we make what we call in Oklahoma knee-jerk decisions. You ever heard that? I mean, have you ever made a decision because you was mad? You ever cut somebody off and like, I ain't helping you do one more thing. I done see how you are, and we're done. I mean, just cut them off right now. No hesitation. And your emotions probably was anger, right? I know you guys ain't ever been mad. We got a bunch of little Jesuses in here, but in my world, pre-Jesus, I could cut you off faster than Carter has liver pills and never even one time look back at you. That was horrible. I mean, that's not a good trait. And I had to work on that. And you ever have stuff rear back up at you? I got invited to a guy's night on Thursday night. They was playing pool. I was kind of enjoying that. Because y'all already heard all my stories, right? I got to go get my new, you know, sometimes my fishing reel, I had to change it out and get a better one. So I'm just over fishing. They're like, preach, you want to play pool? No. No, I don't want to lose $2. So I just sat and I had a great time. I got home and my wife said, when I left, she said, be careful, don't get hurt. I'm like, I'm driving the truck over to somebody's house about a mile and a half down the road. Well, I just didn't want you to get hurt. I said, I'm not taking the side-by-side or going and doing anything crazy. But I've had things in my life that I have cut people off because of emotions. And it took a really long time for God to manipulate me and fix me. Because that's what we think is an easy fix, right? You know, if somebody hurts us or gets mad or whatever, it's easier just to push them aside and tuck them away over in a corner. Like, I don't have to go eat with them. I still love them. No, you don't. Yes, I do. I just don't have to be around them. No, that white elephant, you know. I mean, I'm sure somebody's had a white elephant other than just me, right? I mean, have you ever walked in to eat somewhere and went, well, there's too many people in here, and there was 10 tables open. What do you mean there's too many people? Well, they're too close. COVID's got me scared. When truly somebody's sitting in there that you can't handle eye contact with. There's other emotions that affect us. What about love? Anybody fell in love and it didn't turn out love? You loved them with all your heart and they decided to check out and go find somebody else. My wife, when we met, she told one of her friends, I was the best looking guy ever. No, not really. Did you, babe? She's sitting in here. I got to be good. When we met, it was love at first sight for me. She's like, telling her friends, I ain't marrying a guy that's got an ex-wife and children. But y'all know I don't give up, right? Some of you are sitting here because I don't give up. I mean, I get y'all in the crosshairs and you might as well give in because I'm going to... it's better for you just to come see me because I'll follow you till the end of the world. That's the way when I seen her, I went, that's it. Now, mind you, I was never getting married again. I done been down that road. It was too much. It hurt too much. Too many white elephants in the room. I ain't doing it. And then in walks her. And we had kind of a Thursday night thing at one of our friends, and she would bring a bottle of wine, and I'd bring a case to a beer, and me and another guy would sit out in the garage, and they'd drink Boone's Farm or whatever. I don't even know what it was, and we just had a big time. I'll follow her home and make sure she got in her apartment. And I mean, I wasn't giving up. I mean, if something comes into my head that I think we can do, I'm going to do it. If you don't want to do it, it's okay. I'll find, there's 600 people that call Cross Point home. I'm going to find somebody that likes to go with me. I got two down here. Sorry about Sarge, but Russell, go follow me anywhere. That's true asking. He's like, just make sure where we're going to land, we're going to be okay. Rhonda will come around or get left. I love you, Sarge. But love can affect us. It can affect your feelings, your behavior, even your looks. And fear can do the very same thing. Fear can affect your thoughts, your conduct, even your physical health. Because mental health is more important than you really know. I want to talk about the emotions of fear. And I know you probably haven't thought about your emotions and how they affect our lives, because too many of us, when we get into a problem, we focus on that problem, right? I mean, that is all we can see, what's going on in our life, what's not happened like it should have happened, and so we just turn away from it. We never try to figure out and hash through where we've been and what we've done. We just put a little blame on it, move it over here in the corner. We never try to fix what's going on in our lives, because how many of you like somebody to come up and talk to you about what you do not do right? Does anybody enjoy that? I mean, if I walked up to you and went, I'll pick on Joel. He's my buddy. If I come up to Joel and told him that there was something in his life that was messed up and he was continuing to go down that road and always lock it off, right now he'd probably tell me, yes, that's how it is, and here's why. Because he's figured out and he's read enough books and talked to enough people, you could probably do the same thing. But we don't like it when somebody comes up and goes, hey, don't get mad at me, but what you're doing ain't going to work. I mean, if somebody come up and said, you're really not a team player, we need to work on that. Well, what would the first thing you'd do? You'd leave, not come back. You know, it's no fun when preach calls said, hey, can we go have a cup of coffee? Because we don't like to hear when something's going wrong in our lives. Because it's no fun to change that stuff. It's a lot more fun just to throw it over in the corner and pile it up. And when all that stuff piles up and somebody comes and talks to you and says the wrong thing, you jump on them, call them everything in the book, and tell them how big of a mess they are. When they didn't say nothing to do it, it's all that stuff in your closet. You know, you've seen the commercials where they open up a closet and all the hats fall out. Those are all emotions. Fear can affect your thoughts and your conduct. Look at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. It says, a cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. Some of y'all need to write that on a 3x5 card and tape it on everything y'all look at. except your windshield on your motorcycle. A cheerful heart is a good medicine. How many people watched my video this morning about the mouse? Tracy, did you see that? That's a good thing. At least she won't be mad till after church, right? I had a cheerful heart coming to church this morning. And I was going to pull the trash bag out from where she walks out to go to her car, and I seen some nibblings. I'm like, dear Jesus, not this morning. I said, babe, can you come here? This don't sound good. We got a visitor. What is that plastic stuff in the floor? I said, you mean that plastic stuff and all that poop trail? Yeah. It's a mouse. Oh, Lord. No, she's shutting the door. I'm like, no, just take a breath. And we'll buy some traps. So when I come home from church after we eat, I'll take care of Mr. Mouse. I get in my truck. And I see a hand come out the door before I shut the garage door, and she's dangling it. I can't put the trap out right now. Well, who keeps extra spare mouse traps? My wife. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in this world that they can do away with, but a mouse trap is not what, because my wife, I thought I was going to have to call Mike Venable to preach for me this morning. I thought I was going to have to find that thing. Y'all watch the video. It gets pretty funny in it, but it's all truth. I mean, that's the way it happened. It wasn't a squirrel. It was a mouse. But Satan uses our emotions of fear to prevent us from enjoying what the Lord has planned for you. You know, I can go back even when we started the church and remember that fear like it was yesterday. Remember how crippling it was. Because of the unknowns. You may think you don't have any fears, but the truth is that nearly every one of us is afraid of something. Snake. Anybody scared of snakes? My Uncle Billy will hurt himself over a snake. Joel, you might grab a plastic one just for a little fun when we go down there. But he will hurt you. He will hurt himself. He can't handle them. I asked him one time, I said, Uncle Bill, at the time I'd never been to the Rattlesnake Festival in Warrick, Oklahoma. You want to go? Why in the crap would you go somewhere like that? Well, it's kind of like Matamor. It's just they got big cages of rattlers that they milk and take all the venom and then they cook them, and if you hadn't had rattlesnake, it's good, right? But I'd have to have 25 snakes just to get full because they only got a little bit of backstrap across the top of their thing. And guess what it tastes like? So glad we got over that. But your fears may be hidden. And that makes them even more dangerous. I could talk to you just for a few minutes, each one of you. I'd go right down the row and I could tell you what you're scared of. Because it has to do with something that you grew up with. It has to do with someone you was tied to. It has to do with something you was around or saw. Or you may not call it a fear. I'm not scared of nothing. Just don't want to be around that. Then you're scared of it. I hope that's Jesus calling. But Jesus is greater than any fear that your mind can imagine, and he wants to walk in courage and faith. Somebody needs to answer that. If he's letting it ring that, it must be really important. In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, he says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Do not be for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. But he goes on in Isaiah 41, verse 8. But as for you, Israel my servant, Jacob my chosen one, descended from Abraham my friend, I've called you back from the ends of the earth, saying, you are my servant, for I have chosen you, and you will throw and will not throw you away. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See all your angry enemies. They lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. Now, there's six basic fears, and I'm going to try to get through them. There are six, but things that all of us are anxious about at some time in our life. There are fears of poverty. Anybody ever fearful of not having enough money or food or stuff? There's fears of death and sickness. How about old age? As she covers her mouth like she didn't mean for all of us to hear it. How about criticism? How many of you have heard constructive criticism? There's not anything constructive about any kind of criticism. None. I mean, now, Pastor, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Then don't say it. Right? I mean, I'm only saying this to help you. No, you're not. You're trying to ease your conscience. I love you, but... No, love's all-knowing, and it covers everything, and love don't have no but. I'm praying for y'all. How about the loss of a loved one? The human reaction of fear, not a sin. In fact, there are some fears which are useful and even wise. I grew up knowing one of those fears. They use big words like reverential fear. I'm like, okay, I must not need that because I don't know what that all means. Then there's fear of the Lord. And somebody was like, well, preacher, we're not supposed to be scared of the Lord. I'm not saying. I said fear. We got to respect the Lord. And if you look at our world, you probably say, I don't see no more respect for the Lord. Protective fear. Usually helps keep us safe. My protective fear can get me put in jail. Right? I got a protective fear that if my family, everybody in it, even a guy, Wes, if somebody hurts them, or I have fear of somebody hurting them, I'm in trouble. Because that's just who I am. You can talk to every guy in here. If they do something, I got all you guys, I'll be right there. Somebody hurts you or something happen, I'm going to be right there with you. We'll talk about if you're right or wrong after it's all over with. I hope you got enough money to bail two people out because I'm going to be right there with you. This means that we are to reserve reverence, honor, and exalt for the holy God we worship. The negative type of fear which becomes a distraction, is the kind of anxiety that damages, enslaves us. There's many that's there. Being anxious. I was talking to somebody this week, and this summer I'm gonna put some fence up, and I hadn't talked to my wife, just Hunter. We're gonna fence some spots off in our property, and just there may be a said animal of some sort in there. But we don't have the fence up, so we don't have to worry about it, right? We don't have to talk about it because we ain't got the fence up. So we're not going to be, right? We don't have the fence up and everything. We were talking about those fainting goats. Anybody have a fainting goat? I love them little dudes. You know, poor Montgomery really loves me, and she wants to come and let me hold her, but we have a lot of fun. I might irritate her a little too much. Just in fun. I mean, because Pap, I mean, loves her, and I like to play. Well, she don't want me to hold her very long. She wants to be able to jump up, do whatever, and get down, and I kind of hold on too long. But those fainting goats. Somebody said, you realize that a fainting goat doesn't live very long, and I'm like, no, I didn't really think about it. They're like, yeah. Usually their heart explodes. I'm like, well, that's sad. They're like, they got so much anxiety in their body that when you scare them, it causes them to have a heart attack. If you ain't never seen that, go look it up on YouTube. It's the funniest thing you ever did see. I mean, they get hard up in the air and bounce when they hit the ground, like 2x4 straight. I mean, their legs don't do this when they hit. They just go. But I wish y'all be serious. We're talking about God's word here. But we are the same way. Fear can cripple us. And part of the reason that it can cripple us is because you don't let the Lord be in the midst. You know, just like dad or grandpa or the father figure in your life, there's safety there, right? There's safety with them. There's safety even higher with Jesus. God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, it says, this is my command. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Fear is going to be a normal part of our lives, but not one that should consistently have a grip on us. How about the nature of fear? Why is fear so damaging? Because it is as though we consistently have a message playing in our mind, telling us to be afraid. If you're a mom or a dad, when your little one gets out away from you and you can't tell where they are, you get nervous. You need to put 360 on your phone. Tracy watches. I don't even, I love and care for Hunter, but I don't continually look at it. She's not at work today, is she? My wife continually looks at it. She went out and rode four-wheelers the other night in the snow, which is probably not my favorite thing for her to go do, but I was young once. And Tracy's, I mean, that's, I can talk to her, and she's got something else playing in the back of her mind. She'll be fine. Are you sure? Yeah. They'll call us if she breaks an arm. No, that's not what I want to hear. I'm like, she's a child. They don't make good decisions all the time. She's part mine. I never made decisions very good all the time. Still don't today. I mean, be strong and courageous that there might be something happen, but it's okay. You know, fear can lock you down where you don't even want to come out of the house. You know, they've come out with a vaccination now, and people are still doing all the stuff to keep clean your hands and stay apart from everybody, and there's stuff put in fear, but fear has crippled a lot of people. I pray daily that this thing would move on. I pray daily that people, you know, when they start getting vaccinated, vaccinations are for some good, for others not. And I support anybody that does which one. For me, I don't want one. For others, they take them because you have to or the doctor thinks you should. But we can't let this fear of the unknown cripple us to where we can't even function in society. You know, we're programmed early in life by others to be anxious concerning relationships or certain situations. There's people that are anxious on relationships. It might be because they got an idiot for a boyfriend when they were young. Somebody dumb that doesn't know how to take care of ladies and respect them and put their best interest at heart. And it makes them afraid of all guys. You know, maybe there's a guy in here today that got married and got took to the cleaners by their ex-wife. And they don't want ever to ever talk to, see, be a part. I got some friends that, hey, I like being single because I don't have to tell anybody what I'm doing. I don't have to ask if I can do something. I'm like, dude, I do the same thing, but I'm married. They're like, yeah, but that's only one in a lifetime deal there. No, it's not. If you set up your life and put boundaries and sit down and talk about stuff and do something that I learned not real quick, but I learned over the years, it's called communicate. You know, Tracy and I don't have to agree on everything we do. We don't. There's a lot of things that she thinks that I'm just flat out crazy doing. But she still loves me. And we communicate about it. That's why our relationship works. It's because I respect where she is and she respects where I am. And we don't have to agree on everything. You see, some people look for, they're scared to find a husband or a wife because they're like, well, what if they don't agree with me having 50 guns and 500,000 rounds of ammo? As long as you don't act like the mail bomber, that she doesn't have anything to worry about. You know, you're not going to find that perfect person. They ain't out there. You're not going to find that perfect person that God made just for you that is perfect. Because everybody's got fears in their life and they got anxiety and they got things that makes them tick backwards and all. You know what I mean? But if you set up your relationships right with your children, with your husband and wife, with your church family, and you'll put boundaries up, you can lose some of that anxiety that comes on you because you can't. Hey, if you're, I agree that sometimes we got to have medicine. I'm not against medicine. If I didn't have medicine, I'd be sicker than I am now all the time. But sometimes some of the reasons that we're anxious or fearful is because we never sit down and look at what God's Word says for a relationship, for a husband and wife, for your children, for your work schedule, for your life. And if we don't communicate and do it like Scripture says, you're going to live in chaos. You might have to have 10 times what somebody else has to have with medicine if you don't sit down and communicate. You see, our world's kind of went crazy with fearfulness because we've weeded God out of everything that matters. No wonder our kids at school and our school systems are nothing more than a babysitting service sometimes. I mean, I told somebody the other day, I want to one day be on the school board. They laughed. I'm like, I want to bring back corporal punishment. I do. I mean, when you got children that run the classroom and everybody's scared to touch them, it's sad. My wife, we was talking last night about just all kinds of stuff, and the conversation come up that I got whooped in a senior in Marlow High School in Oklahoma. I got a paddling. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. I just had a little skull in my pocket. She said, what happened? I said, well, my shop instructor, I mean, he was a good guy. I don't even know if he's still around or not, but he used to be in the National Guard, and they took this helicopter, and they disassembled the whole thing. Well, somehow, he took a sawzall out there, and where the propellers on this helicopter hooks to the rotor in the center and bolts on, he unbolted that and took that propeller, it was a perfect hand hole right here. And he sawed that dude off about that long. You see. And while I wasn't doing anything, you know, all kids are perfect. He had this picture of the sunrise on the left side of his desk up against the wall. And on the right side of the desk, he said, spread them, brother. And son, he took one of those two-step whops and lit me on fire. And Tracy's like, oh, I hate that for you. I needed that whooping. Now y'all got a visual in your mind. I want to be on the school board. Who wants to let me on there? Hope nobody's watching, right? I mean, I deserve that. I did. But my gosh, I still get chills from it. And Philippians 4 verse 19 says, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. You know, our worries, they sometimes dominate our life, right? All of our goals and desires, they blocking our spiritual growth and preventing us from building our faith. And that doesn't honor God in the least. In fact, our anxiety is the way of saying that we do not think God is powerful enough to protect us. Again, sometimes it takes medicine to help us. But many times, we don't need the medicine. But it's so much easier to fix. I mean, if we don't take that burden and say, yes, that's me. See, I could have got upset and said, that teacher is crazy. He's the meanest thing in the world. He shouldn't have ever touched me. But I knew I deserved it. It's like when you get pulled over. Riding with the preacher, you're going to deserve it. If the officer comes up and gives me a ticket, I deserve. What am I supposed to say? Do you know why I pulled you over? Yes. I would have pulled me over too if that was my job. Why can't we take and own our fears and our anxiousness and all the stuff that goes on in our life? Why do we gotta go try to have somebody tell us what's exactly wrong with you when we know what's wrong with us. There's no dummies in this room. Sometimes it blows my mind. I mean, I could have come up with all kinds of excuses in my life. My dad was hard on me. It made me who I am today. And if he hadn't have done that, where would I be? You know, my dad never let me grab a hold of anything that the doctors said I couldn't do. Y'all heard the story. I wasn't supposed to be able to even work a job or figure out a checkbook or be out of the house. That's what the doctors said. But my dad didn't treat me no different than he did my brother. You are going to go and do chores. Any kids got any chores? I had to go feed when it tornado season. I mean, my mom will tell you stories where I carried bales of hay out to the cows when Dad was in Italy because it was what I was supposed to do. And no, I couldn't grab a 100-pound bale by myself. I was 5 years old. But Dad taught me to cut the bales, cut the wires. We use wire in Oklahoma instead of that twine y'all use. You cut that and open it up and carry a couple flakes at a time. I didn't get saved, Dad. Mama had to do it because I can't pick that bale up. Son, you're to take care of the house because I'm going to be gone, and that is your job. Figure it out. You know, is anybody listening today? Y'all going to leave and go, I ain't going back to that church. He's too hard on you. How about the source of fear? I'm going to close after this one. The source of fear. Where does this distraction come from? Fear is a product of sin. You know, when Adam and Eve was in the garden, they were running around naked. I'm glad for everybody's sake that that doesn't happen today. But they ran around naked. And did you know that didn't bother them? But when sin come in, it messed up the whole world. You know, fear can be the product of sin because anxiety and guilt are a natural result of our transgressions. Fear can also result from things we have been taught or from our own imaginations. You know, if you look at porn, did you know your relationship with your wife will never be right? I'd say, preach, you're making me nervous. I've been there. I've seen the magazines. I've read the magazines. I've looked at all the stuff. Thank the Lord that it's not in my mind today. But I've been there. Pre-Tracy, pre-all that stuff, I've been there. I know. It's so easy today, right? Because we carry a computer in our back pocket. We have Facebook. Easy for the sin to climb right in over the web page. And nobody can hold you accountable because you don't know. You know, doubt. You ever doubted God? Doubt of God, poor self-image, ignorance of God's word are all sources of worries and fear. We must have our hearts strengthened by God's promises so that we won't be vulnerable to the enemy's weapons. The more we dwell and study in God's Word, the more courageous we'll be. Sometimes, number four, the consequences of fear. There are terrible results for those who give in to fear. An anxious person is afraid to take risks because of that. Will be incapable of launching out or the great adventures of God that has prepared for him. That person is going to be indecisive. He's going to procrastinate on projects because he is scared of making the wrong decisions. But not taking in time, he'll screw up his own efforts. And in time, his self-confidence will be stripped away, and he'll give in to the irrational course of action because of the torment he's feeling inside. And ultimately, fear will dominate his entire life. As everybody bows their head, eyes are closed. This morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know where you're at as far as fear. I don't know who's watching, who's clicked off because they couldn't handle what we were talking about. But sin has crept in and is killing and is suffocating our families one at a time. It's ruined the confidence of our dads. It's put our moms in places that they were never designed to be in. And it's all because of sin and Satan's divisive nature. He's the author of confusion. Maybe there's somebody here today that say, "Preach, I've never asked the Lord into my heart, but I would like to." Just by raising hands, I'm not going to come get you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray. Anybody at all? Say, "Preach, pray for me." Thank you. There's one. Anybody else? There's another one. Anyone else before we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you today, as we've had two or three raise their hand, God, I don't know who's online or where they're sitting at or what they need to talk about, what they need to come clean about in their relationships, what they're afraid of or what they've been through. But God, the start in our life is to rededicate or be a first-time person that's never prayed to ask Jesus into your heart. Lord, as we pray this morning, as we've planted seeds in everyone's heart, God, I ask that you listen. And God, I thank you for that free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that you come into my heart and life. God, I pray that you forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I ask that you come in and help me to live my life pleasing to you. I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day you rose again. If you prayed that prayer, by biblical definition, you've accepted Christ. You know, John 3:16 says, if you believe, you can receive. And if you go over to Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth, if you ask forgiveness for your sins, it's free. I can't imagine why somebody wouldn't want something that is free. Now, there's things that come along with that. There's a corporate body of believers that is excited that you prayed that prayer, and they want to help you to be discipled and trained so that you understand what God's Word says. Because we can get rid of the distractions of fear in our lives just by having that relationship with Jesus and talking to Him each and every day and allowing Him to direct our lives. As the band plays, as we open up this front, I encourage you to come up. Because there may be somebody that wants to leave something that they're fearful of right here at the front today so they don't have to carry it around. Please come.
Jesus Christ will come to me. found Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to
Father, as we come to you today, God, I thank you for working in our lives. God, I thank you for your free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray for the ones that raised their hand today, or maybe they didn't raise their hand and they accepted you. God, I pray that you walk with them this week, because this might be a tough week. God, I pray right now that you would just guide and direct and uplift their hearts. God, we pray right now for our town, Lord, as we've lost a few this week that's been tough. God, I pray today that you would touch the ones that are still homebound because they can't get out and they're afraid of getting sick. Lord, we pray that you comfort them right where they sit today. God, that you let them know that they still have a church body that's behind them, that understands why they're not here. They don't have to make excuses, because we still love them and they are still apart. And we're waiting and praying, excited for the time that they get to walk back in. God, we pray for our town this week as we have some weather coming in. God, that you would just help the ones that are at home. God, that you would protect each one of us that are out and about. God, that you would spare each one of us many heartaches. God, I thank you for today and pray that you'd give everyone a safe trip home, and God, be with them today as they spend time with family or take time and get ready for the work week. God, we ask these things in your name.